Last week, we looked at the dark side of nature. Everyone go, do, 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 do. And so we looked at the idea, and I spoke on it. And you can listen online, theriverchurch.org. There's Sunday sermons you can listen to online. But I spoke about the idea that this concept that nature is perfect, it's pure, it's actually sacred, it's holy, and humans are messed up and unsacred and unholy. Therefore, elevate the value of nature and really worship and serve it, birds, animals, lakes, rivers, all that, and devalue humans because they're the ones messing things up. And that's a concept that's been around a long time. It's that earth is good, humans are bad. And as I pointed out last week, not to slander individual species of nature, of animals, but there's some pretty messed up animal behaviors out there. And I know not with every animal, of course. Not every species has got its dark side. But the animal world, just like humans, were affected by the curse. Okay, and that's why God said he's regretting even creating man and beasts, and he wiped them off the face of the earth, but spared Noah and his family, 8 people, and he spared a remnant of the animal world that to repopulate. But it still has got some dark sides to it. But anyway, so today I want to go a little further into this area with the dark side of nature, part 2. We're going to say, do, 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 do. Okay. So, thanks. I want to talk about climate and weather. Yes, I'm going to go there. I'm going to talk about it. And it's appropriate in light of the fact that Aguilar's couldn't be here because of the climate and weather patterns going on in Louisiana. But I just want to pray. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray together. Father, just thank you for this time, and thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises and your provision for so many things, for the human race and for the natural world. Lord, I pray that you give us eyes to see and eyes to be open to the hope that we have and that all the natural world has because of Jesus Christ. I just thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to acknowledge again, this started an article out of Answers in Genesis magazine. It's a really good, Ken Ham is the founder and CEO of Answers in Genesis. There's the Ark Encounter in Kentucky, and there's a Creation Museum. Fascinating place that my wife and I saw, went there, took a few days, and it was really an amazing place. Amazing Christ-centered museum that promotes the idea of creation and speaks to a lot of the fallacy of the lack of science found in evolutionary thought. So I'm a creationist, I believe, just like the Bible says. I want to read part of an article here by Ken Ham that caught my attention, and so I'll just read this. It says, we hear a lot from climate change alarmists these days. In fact, it seems every day someone is on the news talking about this topic, even warning that humans could become extinct within 12 years if we don't deal with climate change. Well, I admit it. I am also a climate change alarmist, and I do believe humans have caused climate change. Yes, it's true. We need to warn people about the coming catastrophic climate changes that will affect all of humanity. We need to proclaim this from the rooftops. It's an urgent message. In fact, the Bible prophetically refers to its coming in 2 Peter 3:7-10. It says, the heavens and the earth are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. The heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Now that's the ultimate catastrophic climate change everyone should be aware of. When one day in the future, Jesus will return and the earth and the whole universe will be judged with fire And God will make a new heavens and a new earth. But it says in 2 Peter 3:13, but according to his promise, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. It's important to understand that humans are the cause of this coming catastrophic climate change. Because of our sin in Adam, we recognize that the whole creation is now groaning, awaiting this massive change. So, it says, the Bible makes it clear, all creation is groaning under the weight of this curse. But it's groaning, and it's not groaning from how fossil fuels are being mishandled. It's not groaning from, you know, too much coal burning or you know, cutting down too many trees. It's not groaning because of those things that humans are doing. It's groaning because of the rebellion that humans had against God, who created it all and gave them one rule about one tree, and they couldn't honor that. And because of that, a curse is on the whole world. And it says in, I don't know if it's Romans 8:20-22, it says, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it. Who are they talking about? Who subjected the earth to be under a curse? It's not a trick question. I mean, we can say, well, Adam and Eve. Well, yeah, but they didn't have the power to put the whole earth under a curse. God subjected the whole earth under a curse that he said, he warned them, don't eat from this tree or you will die. Death was not meant to be part of their experience. Death was not meant to be part of the earth's experience in any way. But he said, when you eat of this, you will die. And God, a curse came, says, the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay. A couple years ago, I bought a newer vehicle, newest vehicle I've ever had, been able to do that, and 2 years old. And it's like, wow, this will be with me the rest of my life. This is like new. It's only 25,000 miles on it, a white Silverado. And about a year ago, standing by the truck, and there's rust. There's a rust spot on it. My new truck is under bondage to decay while we speak. Your vehicles are under bondage to decay. Your house is, your lawnmower is, your bicycle is, everything. Our bodies are under a bondage to decay. And there's nothing we can do about it. And that wasn't supposed to be there. But it says, and brought into the glory, and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. So be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Now, the pains of childbirth, we got to think about this. I know we say, oh, it's groaning. Well, I've never been pregnant. Not once. I've never experienced that. But I've been married. I married a woman who has been 5 times. And the pains of childbirth are a gradual process. It goes from a little discomfort, a little frustration, to severe pain. Severe grabbing my hair and there's a lot of pain. But it's not pain for evil. It's not a pain, like I said last week, it's not a pain like a broken arm pain. It's a pain for a glorious new birth. And the earth is in groaning pains like childbirth, meaning it's gradually getting more and more uncomfortable, more and more painful, but not for evil. What we should be fixed on, it's not for evil, it's for glorious, wonderful new birth, new creation. And climate is subjected to that as well since the fall of man. It went from the Garden of Eden paradise to all kinds of extremes, and Louisiana's experiencing part of that right now. But so even with the storms, the hurricanes, tornadoes, famines, floods, earthquakes, and tsunamis, God gave us a promise about 4,300 years ago after the flood, written in Genesis 8:22, says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. So there's a promise that even with this groaning, even with these problems, even with this destruction, even with this tension and in ever-increasing measure, God says, I will continue these things. I will continue seed time and harvest, day and night will never cease. So we can say with confidence, as Ken Ham states in his article, says, humans aren't going to destroy themselves or destroy the earth because God is in complete control, and he will determine when the ultimate catastrophic climate change will occur. It's in God's hands, it's not in our hands. Jesus said, such things must happen. When he's talking about in Matthew 24 about wars and rumors of wars and natural disasters and kingdoms rising up against kingdom and kingdom, governments against governments and so on, nation against nation, he said, these such things must happen. The earth is the Lord's. He's sovereign over it. Humans are not in charge of this planet. He's the sustainer of it. And yes, it's going through some tough times, but the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, will determine when the end comes, not us. He sustains it. And so God gave the rainbow to us, and he gave it to all creation as the sign to humanity. This was after the flood, the sign to humanity and to every creature with the breath of life in it. He says, this will be a sign between me and the earth that I will never destroy the planet with a flood again. And some people say, oh, that's not true because there's been lots of floods. Now, there's been floods here and there in regions here and there, but there is never will be a worldwide, global flooding for destruction again. But he said there will be destruction of the world by fire. There will be a fire that is inescapable, and it's sobering. It's sobering to think of that everything, it says, will be laid bare. Everything. And so that, Peter goes on to say, 2 Peter 3:11, he asks us all a question. He says, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You know, when you get to having a vehicle that it's pretty much beyond, you don't want to put money into it, it's time to donate it to the local demolition derby, you know, because it's like it's just going to be destroyed anyway, so just might as well have fun with it. Or you get old clothes and you wreck some clothes, they wear out, and well, then those clothes go in a pile that is for painting. Those become your painting on Saturday clothes because they're going to get wrecked anyway, it doesn't matter. And so, but with things like that, it makes sense. There's things like that, it's like, yep, that's a good, those are good jeans to use for painting. So the earth is wearing out. Does it matter what happens to it? Does it matter what we do to the earth? Because it's going to wear out anyway. It's going to get replaced. Should we care? Peter says with a clear yes, yes, in three ways. And first of all, the earth is the Lord's. It's not ours. Okay, it's the Lord's. It's not our property. It's his property. But number one, it says, "You." This is how you ought to live. You ought to live holy and godly lives. Yeah. Holy and godly lives. Quite the opposite of, hey, it's last day of school. Let's trash everything because we're on the way out of here anyway. It's like that's not the attitude to have. Coming up to the finish line isn't the time to get careless. Yeah. It's time to get focused because you're all the closer to meeting God face to face. When you're in that home stretch, when the earth is in that home stretch, when your life is in that home stretch, and you don't know, that could be today, tomorrow, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, in light of eternity, that's the home stretch. That is a short period of time. And so he says, knowing that the earth is going to be burned with fire, what kind of life should you live? Holy and godly lives. Now, I've never been a runner, but I do like to ride bicycle, and haven't for a while, but we live on a hill on the east side past the river, and it doesn't matter if I went out to Morristown or I'd take that bike trail along Shager Park and just go for miles and miles and enjoy it, but I typically, when I'm coming home, go across the river walk bridge, and I don't want to get off my bike and walk up the half a block. I try to pedal hard and just keep going up that hill and feeling the burn and there's just something about finishing strong that feels good. To you get focused, your mind stops wandering about things that you can be wandering in miles along, you know, a bike trail here or there, but when you get to that last leg, that last shot of, you want to go for it. I want to go for it. And so that's, Peter is saying here, throw off the sin that so easily entangles and run the race to get the prize, to win the trophy, to win, to feel great about it, rather than just, it was just kind of, you know, lackadaisically finishing up. Holy means to be set apart. Yeah. Holy means different. Live holy lives, not like the world lives, knowing that the end is coming and it's going to be destroyed by fire. Live holy lives, set apart for God. Like you are getting that much closer. You are one day closer to meeting Him, and you want to be ready, different from others who are without Christ. We're to live lives that honor God in public and honor God in private. Yeah. Live for Him whether people see you or don't see you. Honor your spouse. Build her up. Build him up. Don't tear him down like the world does. Don't tear each other apart. Build each other up. Speak the truth in love with grace and mercy. Speak the truth. And it's not easy. But we have just 740 men's mantra, which applies to everyone. And here, repeat after me. It's like, we are 740 people. We're made of tough, not fluff. We're here to win, not whine. To walk by faith, not fear. To rumble, not grumble. To pave, not cave. Because we're children of God. In Jesus' name. This is who we are, and that's what I try to end every 740 men's breakfast with, that declaration, that this is who we are. We're not here just, you know, beaten by the circumstances and at a loss of what to do about it. It's like, no, we are children of God. And as the end is all the nearer coming, live like children of God. Live holy and godly lives. Honor one another. We're lovers of God and lovers of His Word. Not hearers only. Get to know your Bible. Live it, know it, do it like it's going to matter, because it does. We can get so lazy and so careless, like, oh, I'm saved. Oh, Jesus is coming back. Like, no, Jesus is coming back. Rev it up. So we're to live godly lives, and then number two, as you look forward to the day of God. What's the day of God? Is it the second coming of Jesus? Is it the day of God's judgment? Is it the first day we reign with Him over nations? I think it's all of these. But Peter gets very specific in verse 13. He says, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. A home of righteousness where there is no wickedness. There is no sin or corruption. No decay, no being under the bondage of decay. No storms or famines or floods. 70 degrees and sunny every day with low humidity and no sunburn. No, it's an amazing hope that we have in Christ. Yeah. Things here can be bad, but it's so temporarily bad. It's so short-term bad. I've been living like this for my whole life. That's short-term. That's a really short-term problem that we're all dealing with. And I don't want to, I want to be careful. There's some bad, horrible, evil consequences in this life of things that sometimes we deserve, sometimes we don't. And there's just, it seems to be no justice, but the judge is watching. Yeah. And he knows how to bring justice. But every day we're closer to the fulfillment of his promise for a new heaven, new earth, the home of righteousness. I was looking forward to the Aguilar's coming, so we took an overnight in Brainerd, where it's 3 hours north of here, where my daughter and her family and my son and his new wife, Karina, who are here for Tony and Meg, and we got to see where they are living and since the wedding. And it was just great to go up there and relax in beautiful Brainerd, Minnesota. We love it. We used to vacation there as kids. But the idea of, so Monday last week, it's like, in my mind, we're going to Brainerd, and we're just going to relax and enjoy a couple days. So it made the challenges of Monday and Tuesday, and, easier. It's like, I got something to look forward to. I am looking forward to going to Brainerd. And it was great. We got, how many kids out there? Five. And then we brought Zion and Ted with us from Faribault. So we had 7 grandkids there, and it was just a blast. But it was something to look forward to and then go do it. How much more when we ponder what we have eternally to look forward to? Yeah. I mean, do you ponder that? I just want to encourage you to ponder that. Meditate on those things. Meditate. No matter what you're going through in this life, it's so temporary. And so much it's an hors d'oeuvre. It's not the meal. To those in Christ, we have so much to look forward to. So much of perfection, a home of righteousness. Where there's not just a fixed up, it says a new earth, new heavens. And we can't comprehend. It's like we can't grasp in our heads what that means and what that looks like. But we know it's going to be good. I just encourage you to think on it often. And when you get hit with tragic loss, which I hear of tragic loss as a pastor regularly in people's lives, and I go, God, when tragic loss hits, look forward. When overwhelming trauma comes, look forward. When something goes crashing in on you, look forward. Look to the hills. He's the lifter of our heads. The devil wants us to look inward and look at these temporary things and say, this is the way it's always going to be. I thought I was always going to have dirty diapers. It seemed like the rest of my life, I'm going to be old and gray and I'm still be changing the last diaper. But it's like, no, there is another world ahead. There's another life ahead. Look forward. There's painful, tragic things. And I would say, even when you celebrate a huge win, like this morning, enjoy it, celebrate it, but still look forward. Look forward, because it's going to get so much better than the best this world can offer. It's like, enjoy it, celebrate it, but there's so much more coming. So living a godly life and looking forward to the day of God sets the stage for the third point, which I just want to say, we speed its coming. As you look forward to the day of God, and speed its coming. What an incredible influence God has given us to speed the coming of the day of God. How you live and how you hope actually will shorten the time of the season of storms and famines and heartaches that we're in. The floods and the tsunamis and all that will be shortened. I mean, they're going to come and go. They're going to come and go. But the season, the era that we're in will be shortened based on how we live our lives and how we look forward with hope in Christ. And that's an amazing influence. So I just want to close and get to some cake in the lobby here with just as we're driving, and it, you know, we're taking two grandkids up to Brainerd on Wednesday morning, and it's a 3-hour drive from Faribault to Brainerd, and we got our daughter, granddaughter Zion, who's 7, and Ted, who's 5, and yeah, haven't had little kids for quite a while. They're all grown and married, and so we're driving. We're not even to Lakeville. You know what's coming. We're not even to Lakeville. And I thought she was kidding, because out of the back seat, Zion says, "Are we there yet?" I couldn't. I almost like burst out. She's not joking. She's not joking. I thought, that is so classic. She was serious. She was like, "We should be there any time now, right?" And it's like, no, we got about 2+ hours to go of a 3-hour. It's about 2.5 hours, and time concepts are, because, you know, it didn't take long, and the same question came up again. But as children of God, we have no idea how close we are to getting there. We don't. I mean, as funny as it is for a 7-year-old to have no concept of time or distance, us smart, capable adults have no concept of what God is, his timetables that he keeps. And I think he smiles at us the way we would smile at a 7-year-old. We have no idea how many more storms we're going to go through to get there, but we can trust the one who holds it all together. Amen. We can trust the one who's in the driver's seat. We can trust the sustainer and judge over all creation, and rejoice in the hope that we have in his promises regarding our future, both in this life and in the life to come, the everlasting life to come. So be encouraged. God is in control of the climate. God is in control over all the natural world. And yes, pick up garbage when you see it. All that stuff. I'm a nature lover. I love the created universe that God has made. I'm fascinated by it all. But let's stand up and close in prayer. Thank you, Lord. And maybe you need to repent of a negative outlook. And I want to encourage you to do that. God is gracious to help you renew your mind and give you a love for his word, so that the word of God can renew your mind. Because it's so easy to get negative and pessimistic about circumstances and the world we live in and just how out of order certain things are. But I want to invite you to repent and ask God to help you see better, to see clearer, to have eyes to see what he is doing, and to have joy rise up in your heart, and have peace rise up in your heart, and have anxieties leave you, to know that he's in control, he's on the throne, and he's not threatened by it, and he's not wondering what to do about it. And what he allows, and his wisdom is so much greater than our wisdom. And we can trust him. So, Father, thank you, God. Thank you for the peace that you provide that passes all understanding when we give you our cares, when we aren't anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and thanksgiving, and we lay it at your feet and trust you. Lord, thank you for the plans that you have for our lives. Thank you for salvation that we have in Christ. And if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, I encourage you that he wants to be this morning. He wants you to know that your sins are forgiven and he doesn't hold it against you. That the punishment that you deserve was put on the Son of God, who resolutely and joyfully endured them so that you could be forgiven and free. And I encourage you to come and tell me about it and learn what it means to know that you're born again, born of the Spirit, and walking in right relationship with the Almighty God. Father, just thank you for the peace that you give. And Lord, just pray for that hope to rise up as well in our hearts to see that this life, whether good or bad, is very temporary, and you have made a way that we can know you forever and live in a home that's called righteousness. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this church and with bringing on, expanding the leadership here. Lord, just celebrate all that you do and your goodness towards us, Lord. Your mercy and grace towards us all. We just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.